We're coming to the closing part of the first parsha this week, Nitzavim, and Moshe explains that the Torah is very close to every single Jew. Moshe now says, I will explain to you how to go through the process of tshuva, to repent, and lashuv, to return to Hashem through Torah study. He says, the Torah, which I command you, is not a hidden matter. Don't pretend that you cannot understand it, because I am telling you today again, I gave you Torah Shebichsav, I gave you the written Torah, and I also gave you all Torah Shebal Peh. I gave you the oral explanation. It says a fool enters the Beis Medrash and he sees a number of Jews studying intensively, and he says, how did one become proficient in Torah? And he says, well, the process begins. You learn Aleph Beis, and then you can, once you understand that, you can begin to read Chumash. After you have some degree of proficiency in Chumash, you can move to Navi, then to Mishnah and Gemara. And he says, wow, he says, how can anyone ever master all that? He says, this is a hopeless task, and he walks away. Someone else with a little more intellect, right, looks at this, and he says, I can take one step at a time. Obviously, there are people in this room that are human. These people have done it. So I'm not creating a new pattern except for myself, but the precedent is there. He says, I'll start at the beginning. I will make an honest effort, and I'll see how far I get. Moshe said to the Jews, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the Torah. He gave it to me to bring down to earth and to teach it to you. Therefore, no one has an excuse to say at any time, if we only had another Moshe Rabbeinu who would bring it to us and explain to us, then we'd be turned on to study. He said, no, you've got it, and you've got it with Doiros for the generations. And they say, even if it were still in heaven, it says, we would still have to make an effort to try to basically get it down if that were to happen. The other thing which says, when Moshe Rabbeinu said that the Torah is no longer in heaven, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can no longer paskin shailos. Okay? The power of decision now rests with the Beis Din. And Sanhedrin's word is supreme. We're told a very famous story in the Gemara. There was a machlokes amongst the Tanoim whether a certain type of oven could become Tomei or not become Tomei. Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, who was, here it says, probably the most outstanding Talmud Chacham of his generation, said, the oven is pure, and every one of the other Tanoim disagreed. Rabbi Elazar then gave his lengthy, detailed, pristine arguments, and the Chachamim, who were the majority, would not accept them. So Rabbi Elazar said, if the halacha is like me, I want the carob tree with the boxers on it to confirm it. And the carob tree moved 100 amos. And they said, no, we don't accept proof from a carob tree. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fulfill your wishes because you're a tzaddik, but it doesn't prove you're right. And then he said, okay, let the brook of water running right behind us prove it. And all of a sudden, the brook started to go backwards. And again, they said, we have no precedent that brooks can decide a Torah matter. And then he said, if I am right, let the walls of the Beis HaMedrash prove it. And the walls began caving in. Rav Yehoshua, who was probably the Nasi or the Rosh Beis Din, said to the walls, what business do you have with halacha? The walls stopped. In Rav Yehoshua's honor, they didn't collapse. But in Rabbi Eliezer's honor, they remained on an angle. You could see you now had the walls coming to one another. Finally, Rabbi Eliezer said, let heaven proclaim the halachas like me. And a bas koil came out. The halacha is always according to Rabbi Eliezer teaches. Rabbi Yeshua said, okay, I hear the bas koil, but we have a problem. He says, Torah is not in Shemayim. We have that pasuk. And we have a pasuk which says, Achrei Rabim Lahatois. You've got to go according to the majority. We have no ability to decide this in your favor. Later it says, one of the Chachamim, Rav Nosson, had a visit from Eliyahu HaNavi. And he said to Eliyahu HaNavi, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer at that time? He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was smiling with satisfaction. And he said, My sons won. The heavenly voice was a test, whether they would follow it or not. And instead, they followed the Torah. Now we're given the aftermath of the story. Rabbi Eliezer stuck to his view. And the Chachamim ordered any item which on the day had been decided pure according to him had to be burnt. He still wouldn't give up. So they put him in Cherem. But he still insisted teaching based on the Kabbalah he had, based on the Torah as he knew it. And they felt they had to put him in Cherem, but they knew they were putting the Gadol Hador in Cherem. And they said, who is it that'll go and tell him about this halacha? Rabbi Akiva said, I will go. He put on, Rabbi Akiva dressed in black, and he sat 4 amos from Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer noticed him, and he asked, what's the matter? It seems your colleagues have separated themselves from you. Rabbi Eliezer understood that he was put in Cherem. He tore his garments. He took off his shoes, because this is what is required by one who is in Cherem. And then he sat himself on the ground and started to cry. All of a sudden, Rabbi Lozar's crying immediately caused 1/3 of the olive, wheat, and barley harvest throughout the world to wither. Some even say the dough which women were kneading in their troughs all turned sour. The head of the Sanhedrin, Gamliel, under whose leadership had been decreed, was at sea. And the ocean began to swell with towering waves. And he said, I understand. The world in nature is in an uproar because of what I did. He turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did not act for my honor, nor for the honor of my father's house, the Beis Nasi, back to Rav Yehuda Nasi. It was only for you that we shouldn't have discord. We shouldn't have two different opinions reigning through, right? Simultaneous and Klal Yisroel. I didn't want the Torah split in two. Then it says the sea calmed. Another pshat is that the Torah is not in heaven, is indicative to us that the Torah is here on earth, and that is where we can find wisdom. If we want true wisdom, it's in Torah. It's not in secular knowledge. Shmuel, the Tana taught, or he was an Amora, I guess, the Torah is not in heaven. This refers to the astronomers who scan the heavens, trying to study astrology. And one of the people said, but you, Shmuel, you study astronomy. He says, do you know when I study astronomy? He says, only in the bathhouse when I'm naked and I can't think about Torah. Moshe said, the Torah is very close to you when you study it in the Beis Medrash. As long as you enunciate, you speak words of Torah, you are instilling its acceptance in your heart. You can't give it lip service. It's got to be serious. It says, one of the Chachamim said, when I was wandering from place to place, I met a person who hadn't had the ability to learn about Torah and mitzvahs. And he made light the whole concept. He said, my son, what will you say to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam on the day of judgment? He said, I have a valid excuse. I will say, heaven never gave me the intelligence to be able to study Torah. He said, what are you? He said, I'm a fisherman. And he said, how do you do this? He says, oh, when I'm given flax, I spin nets, I cast them into the sea, and I catch fish. And I said to him, God gave you the ability to construct nets and to know where and how to catch fish. And you maintain you can't understand Torah? Let me read to you the pasuk. Every word is near to you in your heart and your mouth. He broke down crying, because this was probably the first time he had ever heard something like this, and did tshuva. And I said, there will be many people in history who will try to give the excuse, I didn't have the opportunity to learn. I didn't have the ability. For some it'll be true, but for others it'll be a matter of personal neglect. Hashem will disprove to them their arguments. Moshe concludes by saying that Shmiras HaMitzvah, keeping Torah, is what acquires eternal life. The brachas and klolas Moshe promised that if the Yidden would keep the Torah, he says they would enjoy material peace, prosperity. And unfortunately, we know from last week's Teichacha what happens if the opposite occurs. You will see when we get to Hazinu, on Shabbos Shuva, Hazinu Hashemayim Vaaretz. Moshe called heaven and earth as witnesses. And he says, V'charta b'chayim, you should choose life. so that you and your offspring will live and be successful. The Torah, which we occupy ourselves with, is life in this world and Oirech Yomim, length of days in Olam Haba. At the end of the exile, when Mashiach comes, we are going back, everyone, to Eretz Yisroel, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. This was where Moshe ended his speech to the entire nation, and the Jewish people all went back to the tents. Parshas Vayelech tells us that on the day of Moshe's passing, a heavenly voice revealed to him that this is your last day on earth. Moshe walked from Machne Leviah, from the camp of Leviah, where his tent was, to Machne Yisroel, to the camp of Israel. He wanted to take leave of the Jewish people and comfort them regarding the fact that he was going to pass. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on that day, somehow stopped the wellsprings of wisdom for Moshe so that he wouldn't feel grieved about giving the position to Yehoshua. According to the Iyun Yaakov, Moshe was not able to understand new points in learning, but was knew of everything that he had ever learned before. And Anaf Yosef says, Moshe lost the power to transmit Torah knowledge to the people. He was no longer able to bring the Torah down to their level. He remained at his high level, and on that level, you know, people don't understand a genius talking in genius lingo. The Sifri says Moshe's eyes were not dimmed. I think that's the pasuk. And what does this mean? Moshe could paskin any shaila possible. And when it says his cheek had not sunk in, Moshe was oisek b'toira. As long as he could, he continued learning on his level, even if he couldn't give it over to someone else. Moshe said the following, I am an old man of 120. I no longer have the permission to teach you Torah. Hashem has closed new insights before me. Hashem will not let me cross the Yarden. But don't be discouraged. My HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is going in front of you, and Yehoshua is going to lead you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy the nations of Eretz Yisroel in the same way that he got rid of Sihon and Og. I leave you because I'm a human, I'm right, and my days are limited. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forever, and he is the one who will always be with you and is the one to cleave to. Moshe called Yehoshua and honored him in the presence of all the Jews. He dressed him in royal attire, and he now told Yehoshua to sit on the chair that Moshe had occupied, and he placed a crown on Yehoshua's head so that the Jews would accept him as their new leader. Moshe encouraged Yehoshua, be strong in Torah and mitzvos. You are going to be alive in Eretz Yisroel until the full land is conquered and amongst the tribes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with you. Do not fear and tremble. On this day, the 7th of Adar, Moshe did miraculous things. He made the new covenant between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael that we read earlier yesterday. He taught them the Shira Hazinu. He gave brachas to all the Shvatim. He wrote the entire Torah from Bereishis until the Einei Kol Yisroel 13 times. He gave 12 Sifrei Torah, one to each tribe, and he put the 13th one into the Aron HaKodesh to be guarded by the Levium, to be the great text that everything could be compared to, the original Torah, which would be available for verification and consultation. Okay.